Okay, right, so today's daf is daf Samach Ches, and we're holding the final line of Samach Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara quotes Amar Rabbi Akiva. Now, to understand the next Gemara, we should go back to the Mishnah just for a second to Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Note that the two Mishnayos in Samach Zayin Amud Aleph are going to the second Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Skip to the second line, where the second line of the Mishnah begins about Hamachashev. Machashev is someone who engages in sorcery, black magic. If he actually does a real masa with the kitchif, in other words, not a question of sleight of hand, but he actually used the powers and the forces of kitchif to create or do something. We'll see an example in a moment. Then you're chayev, because that's what the Torah is talking about. However, if someone is just doing a sleight of hand, like a modern-day magician, that he is able to pull out of a hat three bunny rabbits and then a rope which is 60 feet long and things like that, so it looks very, very convincing, but we all know this is not real. There's some acrobatics going on over here, but it's not a real thing. Anyway, we had a machloikis about that in the Gemara, whether oiches is anayim is a bona fide form of kishif or not. Our Mishnah holds that oiches is anayim is not kishif, and it's permissible. And now, the key for today's Gemara. Rabbi Akiva oimer mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva says the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Shnayim loitim kishuin. You see two people are there in the field, and they are collecting together kishuin. Kishuin are gourds, or pumpkins, etc. Echad loiket potter. One of them who is being malakit, he is harvesting and collecting them together, he'll be potter from the din of kishuin. V'echad loiket chayiv. So what does this mean? What it means is we're not talking about bona fide people that are in the garden, in the field, cutting with their cutting instrument. We're talking about it's all being done through kishuv, where someone is outside saying abracadabra, bum 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 bum, and in two separate fields. We have two separate machashiv. One machashiv is causing all of the kishuvim to be collected together and gathered in one corner, and so is the other. However, one of them is chayiv and one of them is potter. Echad loiket potter v'echad loiket chayiv. Hoyse masa is chayiv. In other words, that after this mechashev leaves, you look in the field, and guess what? All of the kishuin, there were 1,000 kishuin, all of them are now collected in one spot, and all we have to do is call the U-haulers or whoever is going to move them and take them to the market or take them to wherever you take, finish gourds, etc. Oiches Hasanayim, the Oiches Hasanayim was only a sleight of hand. So he was there and looked like everything was collected together. But when he left the scene, guess what? Poof! Then there were no kishuim. They were all still planted in the garden, all still planted in the field. Take a quick look at the Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. The Rashi is six lines from the bottom. Oisem Masa, Mamish Hibitaka does through kishuv. They collect together all the gourds in one corner of the field. That's Meskila. We had it in yesterday's Parsha, that Mechashefa loy sechaya. V'loy oiches esayinayim, point oiches esayinayim, mara labriyas ki iluhu oise, v'ein oise klum. He goes, and really nothing happened. So the person who doesn't know what's going on, he looks at the field, I can't believe it. He went abracadabra, and all of a sudden, all of the kishuin came out of the ground, and they're all collected there in the corner. But it's not true. It only looks like it. So therefore it says, Ho'isa ma'asa so shnayim ha'malaktim kishuin zotrashi. V'machshef is lefaneinu. You got two of them. Two parallel fields, or one large field, and you have two machashvim. Each one of them is saying, they're abracadabra. Echad mehen loiket, one of them as a result of the kadabra is loiket is chayiv. Chaveir loiket is potter. How? Ho'isa ma'asa shahisa kan sadi kishuin. Everybody agrees that initially there was a field here full of kishuin. The lokta mamish bikshofim. He didn't go and send in 50 workers to go and collect the 1,000 kishuim. He just said abracadabra, and guess what? Boom! All of the kishuim were cut, harvested, collected, all there nicely in the bin here in the corner of the field. He is chayef. Oiches anayim marulot keilu hiskab tekulu makmecha. It really looks bona fide. Wow! Can't believe it. Both fields, they said something, and it's all collected together. However, in truth, the gourds are still in the field. They haven't been collected at all. It only looks like it. After the mechashev is finished and he goes home to sleep, you go back into the field. Hey, where are all those kishuim? They're still embedded in the ground. Then you're potter. So this is the story that Rabbi Akiva, not the story, this is the halacha that Rabbi Akiva said in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. Zokti Gemara, back to the top of Samach Ches Amud Aleph. From here, kemat to the end of the Amud, we're going to have one lengthy brisa, but as you'll see, the brisa is mostly, if you will, agadata and not halacha. And the brisa tells us a story about Rabbi Yehoshua. You're telling me that Rabbi Akiva learned this halacha and taught the halacha in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, that there are two different types of mechashvim, the real mechashiv and the sleight of hand mechashiv. By the time you have a braiso, Gishachol Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer, unfortunately, he was on his deathbed and he was very, very deathly sick. Rachman Islam. So, Nechasu Rabbi Akiva, Chavirim Levakri, Rabbi Akiva and his Chavirim came to visit him. Now, this is very, very important that they came to visit him, because Rabbi Lezer, we know from Masechtas Bava Metzia,
was in Chayrim
Shemutihu, and therefore the vast majority of the Chachamim stayed away at all times from Rabbi Lezer. But now that they heard Rabbi Lezer's Nebuchadnezzar's death, but they figured this would be an opportunity either to hear halacha from him before he passes on, or perhaps to go and say farewell, or perhaps both. But because he was in fact in Chayrim, they had to stay away at least Dalid Amois from Rabbi Lezer. So they would have to go and kind of scream if they're asking or saying anything. So they came to visit him. Who Yoshib Kinov Shaloi? He was sitting on his bed. Rashi explained Kinov means a bed that has on it a kippah, a canopy. There were four poles in all four sides. He had a large canopy on top, like a chuppah, so to speak. And he was lying there, sitting on his bed. And they were sitting in the traklin, in other words, not right next to him, a little bit distant from him. And that day that they came to visit was Erev Shabbos, it was Friday, and it was close to Shabbos. We all know that Reb Lezer's real name was Reb Lezer ben Horkinis, and apparently Reb Lezer called his son after Reb Lezer's own father. So now Hurkinus Benoit, Hurkinus the son of Reb Lezer, comes in, lachloitz tefillah, to go and take the tefillin off before Shabbos. What was the reason why he took the tefillin off before Shabbos? So Rashi explains on the third line, because Reb Lezer holds like we do, that Shabbos laves man tefillin hu, we don't go and don tefillin on Shabbos, and therefore v'asar la nichon, shemiyetze behen l'shusarabim. Min ha-toira, there is no chiev to go and put on tefillin, laves man tefillin hu. What happens if a person wants to be quote-unquote a machmer? He wants to go and wear the tefillin. The Chum say, do not wear your tefillin on Shabbos. Why can't you go wear your tefillin on Shabbos? Because he might go and walk with them out in the Shusarabim. So vos is, Rashi brings Rashi a little bit further down, that if a person did, by accident, wear his tefillin on Shabbos in the street, he's not over any Issur D'oraisa, because he's wearing it. Sorry?
Derech Tachshav.
Exactly. So if you look at the Rashi, Isser Skilo.
We have a Gemara if he finds on this.
How can you bring it in?
Well, it's filling, you put on this Gemara Nervin.
And whether you can wear two pairs.
Right. You find a band in the field and it's a shmad.
Exactly. So if you look at the Rashi, Isser Skilo, which is about 6-7 lines in, and now look at the last 3 lines of the, or 4 lines of that Rashi. The Meniach Tfilin B'Shabbos, Enkan Isser Malacha, no, Isser. Even if he wore it outside, it's like a malbishu tachshitim. And just like during the week, if you wear your coat, you can wear on Shabbos, you can wear a coat. Just like during the week, if you wear some fancy schmancy thing, you can do the same thing on Shabbos. That's how the women are able to wear all of their tachshitim. Unless you're a choshish that this is the type of tachshit you're going to remove and show. Ginen will show it to Sprinza, and then they're going to wear it and carry it and all that. But under normal circumstances, no problem of wearing a malbish or a tachshit. So therefore, there's no problem min ha-toira to go and wear tefillin. But there is a concern that once you're walking outside, you might say, oh, Shabbos, nobody else is wearing tefillin. Oh, everybody's going to look at me as if I'm nuts. He might take it off on Shabbos and carry it. Midrabanan, don't wear it on Shabbos. But men are there's no problem. Why am I focusing on that? It's because you'll see that will be key to understand the next 2 or 3 lines. So Hercules comes to take off the tefillin from his father before Shkia. Is Gorboy. So the father screamed at him, the Yatsim and Azifa, and he ran out the door. is Omlehen Lechaveirov. So now the son says to the Rebbe Kiva and the Chaveirim, Kimeduma Hani, it appears to me Shadate Shel Abba Nitrefa. Unfortunately, we're talking about the last few hours of his life, and he seems to be Chas V'Shalom a little bit deranged. Why is he screaming at me? It's like almost Shabbos. What's going on? Why does he still want to keep his tefillin on? I wanted to take it off, and he's throwing me out. So Rebbe Lezer overheard this discussion, and he said, "My das, you're worried about my das in Itrefa. Data im Yushavis. My das Baruch Hashem is fine. I know exactly what's going on. It's v'das imoy nitrefa. Even though we didn't mention mother until now, however, the Mefarshim explained that since he, Rebbe Lezer, was on his deathbed, so his wife, together with his son, were full-time aides and helping out every step of the way, and now the two of them were concerned about the fact that he's wearing his tefillin and it's almost Shabbos, and now, says Rebbe Lezer, don't worry about my tefillin, for Shem's sake. You should worry more about the Isser D'Oraisa. Which Isser D'Oraisa? Says Rashi. Hadlokas Haner Vat Mones Chamin. That's why we brought in the Das Imoy Nitrefa. Why is Mrs. Rebbetzin Eliezer?
Ima Shalom was her name, right? She was...
Ima Shalom?
Wasn't she really Rabban Gamliel?
Sister. She was Rabban Gamliel's sister, right?
Right.
He wasn't wearing his tefillin. So she
So getting back to our
killed my brother.
So says the Gemara that Datoy Miyushev is Dasim Nitrefa. She is Dasim Nitrefa. He's saying she is Chas V'Shalom deranged. Why? Because it's almost Shabbos now. And therefore, she should quickly go and light the candles before it's going to be Shkia. And she should go and quickly go and put all the pots on top of the blech or inside the whatever hatmana form they had at that time, putting on the towels and putting on the blankets or whatever, putting it in the oven, make sure it's korah for cotton, in other words, in accordance with halacha. And they're not worried about these isurim d'oraisa of bishul and of being havara, like the candle. They're just worried about the tefillin. Don't worry about the tefillin, Chanel. Worry about Issa Skila. Always going to be Issa Shavuos, and they're worried about Issa Shavuos. In other words, the Derabanan, about the tefillin.
He's not going to go out anyway. He's on his deathbed.
That's true. But once you have Exeter,
Exactly.
The Chum quickly saw that Reb Lezer had all of his faculties. He knew exactly what was going on. So then they entered into his room, and they got even closer. Until now, they were tracking Shalai, like the lobby or the corridor. But now they saw Baruch Hashem, the cup arbit, so they walked into his room, but they stayed away, Dalet Amas. Why? Because of the Nidoy, because of the Chayim. Omalei, so Rebbe Lezer says, Loma Basa, what's sent to do? What are you doing here? Omrulei, so they told him, Lilmai Torah, but what do you think we came? We want to hear from you, upside Dvar Torah. Why didn't you come until now? I've been waiting for the last 20 years. We didn't have a time. We were all very so busy with all of our limudim and all of our chavrusis and the shiurim and the drashas. We didn't have time. Says the Yad Ramah, the truth of the matter is, they of course did have time, but they didn't want to go and say that the reason why we didn't come is because we were in Chayim, because they thought that that would be like pouring salt on the wound. And Rebbe Lezer knew that he was in Chayim. They have to go and say, we didn't come because of that Chayim. They didn't want to say
that. They never wanted to retract. They didn't want to take away the chirim at some point.
It could be, but not in the time of our Gemara that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And since he's about to pass away, apparently it never transpired.
He died in the Nidui then.
We're going to see whether don't be noy, this about to see. Omelansi said to them, Tamea ani im yamusa misetz atzma. I am wondering whether these rabbis are going to go and pass away a natural death. Not that Chas V'Shalom, he was cursing them, but rather he's saying, this business, they didn't have the time, come on, give me a break. And therefore, it's really because of that chayim. The fact that they didn't remove that chayim, and therefore they didn't learn from me Torah all of these years when I had so much Torah to share with them, chamoira, that they're going to chalila be punished, and they're not going to go and pass away a natural death. And Shalimah, what do you say about me? We'll see in the Gemara shortly that Rebbe Kiva was considered to be the star disciple, if you will, of Rebbe Lezer. So Rebbe Lezer saying too, notice when the Gemara began, we said, Nichlasu Rebbe Kiva v'chaveir. He's considered to be the main Talmud in the story. I'm going to have him further down, as we'll see shortly. So I'm going to Rekiva Shalimau, what's going to be my fate? Is that going to be similar to them? Unfortunately, your fate is going to be worse than their fate. And of course, we all know that Rekiva was one of the Asari Haruge Malchus. We know that Nebuch, they took the comb and the brush and they scraped his flesh off. His, not his flesh, but his oil off. And he died a very, very painful death. Thank you. Not to say Droy Yosef. So now, after that dialogue, he, Reb Lezer, picked up his two arms, and he went and covered over his heart. Omar, and he said, Oy lechem shtei zroi oisai, shehen kishtei sifrei Torah, sheniglolim harbit, sheniglolim, sheniglol. He said, you can look at these two zroyos, and they're like two sifrei Torah, which are niglolim. Perhaps when he says shtei sifrei Torah, really means the two atzei chayim of a sefer Torah, which means that when one lanes the sefer Torah, because the sefer Torah, the ksav, is open. But when you close it, then you don't see what's in the sefer Torah, and it's closed. So he's saying, when I put my two zroyos together, that is similar to a sefer Torah. When I open up my zroyos, the sefer Torah is open. But derech moshul, if I put it closed, then the sefer Torah is closed. So what did he mean by that? He meant to say is, there's a lot of Torah in this heart, in this head, which I wanted to go and share with you, which I could share with you. But unfortunately, you didn't come by, you weren't interested. And that's the reason why you lost out. So if you look at the Rashi, not the Reb Lezer, 10 lines higher than where we are in the Gemara, not the Reb Lezer, shades Reb Yosef his two arms, and he put them together. It's like a Sefer Torah sheniglolim, kishegoylin Sefer Torah, v'ksav mechusa. When you close up the Sefer Torah, you do glila, but you can't see the ksav anymore. Kach tis'alim tis'kasa Torah shebelibi kishe'omus. So too, all of the Torah that I have is going to be implanted and hidden in my heart, Vishaloi Shimshuni Vulamd me many, because all of you had the opportunity and you didn't use the opportunity to mishamish me and to learn from me. So that's what he meant with Derech Moshe with Hishtei Zroi Yisai. And now he continues on, Harbe Torah Lomarati, Harbe Torah Limarati. I learned a gewalt of Torah from my Rebbes, who is the main Rebbe
of Yerchem
and Zakkai. The Harbe Torah Limarati, and I taught all of my Talmidim tons of Torah. I learned tons of Torah. What type of expression is that? So Rashi explains that he learned huge amounts of Torah from his rabbis, and one might think that as a result of learning from Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and other rabbis, all of the Torah that he learned, that maybe he came very close to them in terms of Madrega. That by learning so much, that he was just one degree removed from them because of the huge amounts of Torah that he learned. So maybe he's almost on their level. No, says Reb Lezer. Notwithstanding that I learned tons of Torah, the amount that I learned compared to the wellsprings, the ocean of Torah that they have, I was like a kelev, like a dog, malakik, that licked a little bit, could be the word lick and malakik, it comes from the same sharish. Anyway, a malakik menayam that went and licked from the sea. We know that the sea has millions or billions of gallons of water, and if a kelev comes and drinks, even if it drinks up a whole gallon worth, it's a tipa menayam, mamash a tipa menayam. So therefore he's saying the same thing is, that I didn't get even the 1% close to my Rebbes, they remained in Betoikvam, they were the greatest of the greatest, and I learned from them, but still, the amount of Torah that I learned was less than 1%. Agunish, a kelev amlakik menayam. And similarly, Harbi Torah Limanti, I taught tons of Torah before I became Shamuti, before I became in Chayrim. You know how much they took away from me, in other words, how much they learned from me, also a very, very small percentage, like you put an applicator into eye ointment, and you take it out, and you smear it on your eyes. So you think of
A little dab.
And how much longer will be able to use the rest of the eye ointment? Another 100 times, maybe another 500 times, depending, of course, how generous you are in your dabbing inside and taking it out. Shmeforis literally means like a tube. And they didn't have tubes like we have today that you squeeze them and they came out. You had to put in a mikcha. Mikcha is something similar to like a long Q-tip that you would put into the tube to get the ointment down below, and then you would throw it. So you just like, abyssalagurish. So my Talmidim as well, how much they learned from me, like every one of these depths. Vuloi oit, moreover, says Reb Elazar about himself, Elishani Shoyne Sholish Mios Halochas Beheres Aza. Beheres Aza, as we know, is one of the four Marois Negoim. And he said, in that Mara Nega Beheres Aza, I taught, or I learned, 300 halachas. Can you imagine? Unfortunately, because of this Shamuti status, nobody ever came by to ask me for clarification about these 300 halachas. Meheres Aza. Pulayoy! Elishani Shoyne Sholish Meyes halachas. The Amrila, others say, Shloshis Alofim halachas, 300 or 3,000. Benetias Kshuim. Tias Kshuim means in the Kishuv of planting Kshuim. Slightly different than our Mishnah so far, because our Mishnah was talking about the harvesting. Here we're talking about the planting, but you'll see in a moment. But again, nobody wanted to learn Hilchos Kishofim, Hilchos Mechashev, with the exception of Chutz Me'akiva Ben Yosef. That's our famous Rabbi Akiva who's sitting there. And I'll tell you a story, says Rabbi Lefer. This is years ago before he became Shamuti, before he became in Chayim. We were walking together. Omali, so Rabbi Akiva, who is the star disciple of Rabbi Lezer, says to the Rebbe, Rabbi, Lamdeini Mertias Kishum. Can you do me a favor? Can you teach me Mertias Kishum? Now, he doesn't mean to go and plant Kishum. He means to tell me, how does a Mechashif go and use incantations to go and plant Kishuah. Omarti Dover Echad, so I, Rabbi Lezer, said one word, like as a abracadabra, in incantation, Nismala Kolasodi Kishuah, the whole field was full of Kishuah. I know all of you are thinking, isn't the over on the din of the Chashayim and Zechayim, now that it's going to be Mechash?
The little mode is different.
That's Gemari, the Kasha that we asked. And your Taret is going to be the final shtickle on the bottom of the Amid. But I had to go and raise it now because I saw everybody's looking surprised. How could this be?
I remember from last time, it's such a strong Kasha, it sticks in my head.
Exactly. Anyway, since it's not the Kalas of the Gishon, Omali, and now he says to me, Rabbi Kiva, Lamber said to his Rebbe, to Rabbi Lezer, Limaratani Nitiyasin, you've taught me how a day kishuv you can go and plant the whole field in one word. Abulamdeni na akirasin, could you now teach me how you can be oiker in one word? Amarti davar echad. So I said one word, takanochamula abra kadabra, maybe I have to say kadabra abra, you have to go and say something. And all of them collected themselves to one place in one quarter. That's the end of the discussion with regard to the Indian of the Kishuv. We're going to come back to it. The Gemara's Kasha is going to be very simple. And that is in our Mishnah, we said that Rabbi Kiva taught this about the Mechashiv. The difference between the Akiras Kishuv, when it's done Ayidei Maisa, or whether it's just sleight of hand, Achiza Seinayim, we said that he learned that from whom? From Yubishua. From this story, it sounds like he learned it from Rabbi Lezer. And that's how we start off the top of the hour. Rabbi Kiva, Shugamullah, Batanya, he learned it from Rabbi Lezer. So we're going to answer the question shortly. But before we get to the Kasha and the answer, we continue on this story with Rabbi Lezer. Omrulai, the Talmidim said, we are learning now Seder Taharois, and specifically Mesechtes Kalim. And in that Mishnah, in Mesechtes Kalim, in a Mishnah Mesechtes Kalim, we notice this is Machloikis between you, Rabbi Lezer, and the Chachamim, and we want to know if you're still holding by your original psak, or have you changed your mind? So Omrulai, they told him, that what the Gemara is quoting now is a Mishnah, part of a Mishnah, in Mesechtes Kalim, where it says, Hakadur, in our Gemara it says, Vo'imus, but on the side of Mesechtes Shas changes that, Vo'imum, Vahakameya, Utsur Hamargolios, Umishkoides Ketana, Mahu. What are these things and what's the common denominator of these things? In each one of these cases, we're talking about a piece of leather which was used to enclose something in it on a permanent basis. So the first case is a kadur. You all know what a kadur is. That's a ball. And for any of you that have ever seen a baseball as it unravels, you see that it's not just a piece of leather. Maybe today it's rubber or whatever it is, some sort of false thing. But it has a stuffing in it, and that stuffing in it makes it hard, not as hard as a hardball, but that gives it its substance. But when you manufacture it, you take the stuffing, you put it into the leather, you stitch it up, and you never take the stuffing out again, unless, of course, the thing rips. But otherwise, that's the way it remains permanently. Imum is a form that is used by shoemakers to manufacture shoes. which means it looks like a shoe, a form of a shoe, and you still see some of these shoemaker stores, even though today, of course, things are much different than they used to be, but you still see them, and you can take the shoe and you put it on the form. That's, of course, to repair it. But to go and form the shoe, initially they have such a form, such a mold, and it's also made out of leather, and it's filled with stuffing, and now you put on top of it your new piece of leather, which you're now using to mold and to form into a shoe. V'hakameya, a kameya, we normally think of a kameya as being an amulet that has in it special parshiyos and special shamus, but Rashi said we're just talking about a normal necklace, and this necklace again had a piece of oir, and in it there was some sort of pearl or stuffing or something inside the necklace. U'tzurah ha-magulias, Tzurah ha-magulias, says Rashi, this was used for behemoths. If you look at Rashi, about three lines before the wide lines, the Torah Margulis, Toifin Hamargulis, usually Margulis is some sort of pearl. You go and toifer it, you sew it, or also in an enclosure made out of lead, leather. The Toinan Oisoi, and you hang it not on the tzaver of a person, but tzaver behemah lirafua. Somehow this has magical medicinal properties to it. But this is what people did. And finally, Umishkoilis Ketana. Mishkoilis Ketana means, if you are weighing, like even today, if you go in the street, they still have those weights, they have those scales, where you put a weight on one side and you go and put the food item on the other side. You know, you have these peddlers that sell fruits and vegetables in the marketplace. So, they would do is they would go and put on the, let's say, the left side, they would go and put the weight, and on the right side, the food. So, if you had a large weight, then you typically did not go and cover it. If you had small little weights, they might get worn off quickly. So therefore they would go and enclose it in or to keep it intact. So you look at the Rashi Mashkodas Katana. This is 7-8 lines before the wide lines. Shkodas Katana, ken unkia, could be like an ounce. Sha'oisin ma'oiferes, again you make this Mashkodas Katana, this small weight, out of oiferes. Oiferes is lead, very good. I didn't want to mislead you, so I'm telling you it's lead. And you go and cover it with oil, and again you stitch it up, so it doesn't get worn off. It's a large thing that wasn't the common custom to go and cover it with oil. That's why he says Mishkodes Ketana. In principle, the same thing applies to Mishkodes Gedoyla. However, tachlis, in terms of the normal Orach Ara, they did a Mishkodes Ketana. Okay. What is the common denominator about all of these? As we said before, that it's within a piece of oir and it's stitched up on a permanent basis. So was is der shaila. So there's a pasuk from which we learn chol kliyar and kliyeis and chol sak that you learn from sak. That just like sak is metaltel moli vareka, the same thing has to be by kliyar and other types of kelim, not matches, but other types of kelim. It has to be metaltel moli vareka. Now, what does it mean, molivarekon? Just like a sack. Nowadays, we have perhaps a greater appreciation here in Manhattan because a lot of people take their empty bags to the store and they fill it up and they take it home because otherwise you get charged 50 cents or a dollar per bag or whatever.
No, 5 cents.
Five cents?
What, depends on the store.
Depends on the store and it depends on the quality of the bag. Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't make a difference. The point is that you took bag to the store, it was rekon. And you brought it back if you found whatever commodity you wanted to buy. If you wanted to buy eggs and you found that it was $12 a dozen, you might have left them there. But if you find what you're looking for and you bring it back, then it's metalta molei vareka. Ah, so just like a sack is metalta molei vareka, same thing with gabi a kli or, that it's only kabel tuma if it's metalta molei vareka. And now the question is, there's no question about it that this or initially had a clay kibble to it. And you could fill it with whatever you wanted to. For instance, any one of these things, any of these suffixes. Now, if it would be the custom to go and fill it temporarily, that you want to have a baseball for a baseball game, so you have this nice leather-looking circular clay kibble, and you put the stuffing in at the beginning of the game, and you take it off at the end of the game, then clearly it's metal to molibarekon, and it's makabel tuma. Mm. But because of the fact that you stuff it, and you have no intention of ever removing the stuffing from in it, now there's a machlokes between Reb Lezer and the Chachamim. Is it mekabel tuma or not? Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi, the last of the narrow lines. Now, l'fisha nechleku be'elu. There's a machlokes about this list, the kadr, the imam, and the kameya, etc. The Reb Lezer and the Chachamim beseda taharis machlokes in mesechtes kelim and perach hagimel. The Chachamim oimrim einam mekabel tuma. Why? L'fisha kli or Ein mekabel tuma elim ken yeshloi base kibble. It's got to have a base kibble, something which you enclose and put things in. Do iskish lasak. It's just like a sack. The honey. And this list of the four or five things that we listed. Since the intent was, when you filled the baseball with the stuffing, to leave it there permanently. And the same thing by all of those others that we mentioned. Lo yishmei kibble. It's not considered like kibble because you can't be mekabel anything. I give you you want to go in a bag or a sack. So I go and give you a baseball and say, well, there's stuffing inside. You try to stuff it with something else and go and put your lunch in it and put in a newspaper. You look at me like crazy. You can't put anything in it because it's permanently filled and it's not open. I can't. So therefore they come and say, lo yishmei kibble. Therefore lo yishmei kibble. It is not mekabel tumah. Reb Lezer Oimer, mekabel tumah. The base kibble, the oyster, the malois, even though it's taka permanently going to be filled, it's a base kibble. Yeah. Shmei kibble, and therefore it is mekabel tuma. Oh, so that's machloikis number one between Reb Lezer and the Chachamim. And what the Talmidim wanted to know is, Reb Lezer, do you still hold that way?
Why does it become?
Why is it mekabel tuma? Oh, it's only mekabel tuma if a sheretz or an avail or something touches it. But the question is, if in fact a sheretz or an avail does touch it, is it mekabel tuma or not? So when it comes to oil, just like a sack, just like kli eitz, it's got to have a kli kibble. It's not no kli kibble. It's not mekabel tumah. Why is Ishtay in the Torah? That's the Zeris Akasim. When it comes to Hilchos Tumah Vetara, there's very little sophisticated logic. It's all basically a lochem which we see in Zeris Akasim, and that's the way it is, whether you like it or not. So, what's the din by a sack, by a bag? What's the din by a kli or and all of those types of things? They're only mekabel tumah if they have a kli kibble where you can go put something in it and you can go and pick it up and schlep it and take it from place to place, etc. So this kli or, if in fact it is in the form of like a bag, or even if it's not like a bag, it's in the form of a plate, a soup plate, where you can go and pour soup in it. Hopefully it's well covered so that you don't get the tam of the soup into the leather, or leather into the soup. But mice, if you had a leather-based soup plate in which you're able to go and put in food, it's mekabel tumah. However, if it's totally flat, like shuti kli eitz, since it's not, there is no kli kibble, it's not mekabel tumah. Ah, so now the question is, what happens if you have such a funny situation where you started off with a kli kibble in the form of a leather pouch in which you could have put in money, and you can go and close it up and pull the money out every time you want to give tzedakah, or every time you want to go and take out your credit card and pay something. In other words, if it has a kli kibble, you can go put things in it. It's mekabel tumah. But what happens if it's a permanently stitched up kli kibble, which is full of stuffing, like a baseball? So even though theoretically it's a kli kibble, you can mekabel the stuffing. That's how you got the stuffing in the first place. But since you're leaving there permanently, and you can no longer use it to be metalkel anything in it, so that's the machloek between the blazer and the chum, where the chum say, come on, it has a kli kibble. Reb Lezer says, thank you very much. Thank you, I appreciate the correction. So Reb Lezer said, Mekabel tumah beis kibble osi lamalish shmei kibble, and the Chum say, no, lav shmei kibble. Why? Because it's going to be stuffed permanently once and for all. Okay, that's machloikis number one. This is machloikis number two. What's machloikis number two? What happens if, talking about our baseball, what happens if, in fact, this was a real rough and tough game, and they were going.
He hit the cover off of the.
He hit the cover off of the ball, and now the stuffing is coming out. Sorry,
only string is inside.
Only string is inside, yeah. And there's strings attached. Good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so what happens now? And after some of the stuffing was revealed and it became open, maybe you can squeeze now in a non-existent penny. Right? You better hold on to your pennies because in a few years they're going to be worth $20 each. You're going to be antiques and collectors. I'm sure you are. You're already a multimillionaire. Anyway, getting back to our situation. After Hitaka knocked the cover off of the baseball, so the stuffing is starting to come out, it fell onto the ground. And there was a sheretz that was standing there, and guess what happened? And the baseball fell on the sheretz's head and killed the sheretz. So what happens now to that ball? So it becomes tameh, because now it's a clay kibble, which is no longer permanently stitched. Now the stitches fell open. So now it's mekabel tumah. Now I take the baseball, and I don't want to go and play with the baseball, which is tummy. It's not a good omen. It's hard to believe that I'm going to win
these. Maybe some Kohanim are playing.
Anybody
can Truma during the Cracker Jacks from Tuma.
Exactly. So we don't want to go and play with Tommy Dick and Paul. So what do? We go and put it in the mikveh. The question is, since there's that stuffing inside the kliyah, does that cause, is there a chatzitza as a result of that stuffing or not? Again, a second machloik is now between Reb Lezer and Chacham. Continuing on the Rashi, third line, middle of the line.
The
Oyin Nechliku.
I know
where it is. I want to show you. I also know where it is.
Oh, okay,
I'm just trying to show off.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Oyin Nechliku Bekadu Be'imam. Shenikru, that got torn. Oy, oy, oy. V'nira Cholosham. Now you can see the inside, the hollow. I could never see it until now. The Moider Rabbanan, now the Makabli Tumah, now it is Makabli Tumah, even according to Rabbanan. Why the Ika base kibble? It's clear that there's a base kibble. You could squeeze in a penny, a nickel, a dime, whatever. Upliyuvinyan Tvila! Shechamoymir Masha Besoychei Choytzeit. What you have to do is take all the stuffing out, take out all the strings, all the loose strings which are attached, and now take that empty pouch of the previous baseball, which is now a piece of leather pouch, go and put that into the mikveh, and then you can go, then it'll be kohar, and then you stuff back all the stuffing in and put it together again. Reb Lezer Oimer Mashu B'toich Einu Choytzitz. The Kuli Chad Klihu. The whole thing is considered to be, since initially you filled it right after you had that initial pouch, you filled it with the stuffing, even though there's now a hole and you can put something in, whatever, that's not a chatzitza, because it's considered to be one entity. It's still a baseball. It's not a leather pouch with stuffing. It's all one. So we have a double machlokes. Well, b'shas p'tirosoi, when he Nebuch was about to pass away, Reb Lezer, oh, he wrote so later, the Talmidim wanted to know. Im chozer boy, maybe he changed his mind. V'shalu, ma ta'oimer ba'ois in shnei machlokes, do you still hold your same shita that you held before, or have you changed your mind? Amal ha'ams, he said to me, v'afilu shleimim, even though they're totally shalim, it's still considered to be a kli kibble, even though it's permanently filled and sealed and stitched and all the rest. But tuma negas machutz, then, and the tuma touches it from the outside, it's makabel tuma. And number two, the terasim ben shehein kloimer and nikru, if they got torn, shechama moidim shemakabel tuma, then even the chama agree that it's makabel tuma because it's open. The chalukan olai loimer shehamiloi choitzit v'oimer ani bedvarai, and I'm still holding my same shita shehamiloi ene choitzit. You can go and be metire them and toig them the way they are. You don't have to remove the stuffing because, like the Rashi said before, it's chad kli. So this is, we got off a little bit on a diversion, getting back to the Gemara, third line. Umuloy, they asked him about the kadrim, at the imam, at the kameim, at the tzorah magolius, umishko the katana mahu, what's the din? So Umulahenzi told them, number one, hain tmeim, they are mekabel tuma, even though it's a kli kibble, which is filled forever and ever. It's mole oylomis, like Rashi said. Nevertheless, it's mekabel tuma. And mitarasan b'meshehein, or maybe like Rashi seems to say, kimoishehein, you can mitar them the way they are. If they got torn, and now the stuffing is coming out, you don't have to play with the stuffing. Leave it in, toivel it the way it is, and it's kushe b'tum. Now,
why don't they ask him about the famous tenor?
They already took up the whole
rehash.
That should be curious. Are you still holding that's a tower?
He had already brought three rayas, right? A special basco came from Shemayim. All in favor of Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer was sticking to his gun.
Yeshua said, sorry.
Exactly. Anyway, so on to the fourth wide line. Now they asked a brand new shayla. Mino shel gabi ho imam mahu. We said before, to manufacture the shoes, the shoemaker used to have such an imam, such as a form, which was made out of leather, which was filled with the stuffing, and then you had the new shoe, which you're molding and which you're forming on top of this imam, and now you would like to go and remove it, but you haven't removed it yet. And to remove a shoe from the form, you don't need any grace chucham, a rocket scientist, you don't need a big shoemaker.
It's not breathless a pass or something.
Right. Anybody can go and remove it. But lemaise, it has not been removed yet. And therefore, if somebody wants to put it on, he cannot. Question is, does it still have the status of a gonei kli, or is it considered to be a final kli? Meaning, as we know from Masechtas Kelim, as we know from Shas, that a kli is only makabel tumah when it's finished, a finished product. If it's not finished yet, even if it's only a kleinekite, only a small little thing that still have to, you know, fit to make a hole over here, a makapash. Good. Even though that's a term for Shabbos, but you're using it here too. Very good.
I thought anyway, it was something to do with makshava.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. It's makshava and maisim. So now the question is, it is now lying on the imum, and a dead sheret touches it, or a veila touches it. Oh, you're right. Is a mekabel tumah, yes or not? What's the shailah is? Explains Rashi. On the one hand, it is a finished product. You could take it off and put it on. But on the other hand, it has not been removed from the imam yet. So maybe it's still in the final processes of this.
Kosher way is kiyilu.
Maybe. So look at the Rashi. The minol shel gabi imam mau. 5 lines of Bible. She'af boi nechleku. Not in the Mishnah, but in Tisefta Taharis. Chachom oimim hoyul ve'inim chusim olacha. It's done, it's finished, you know. The shoelaces are in it. All you have to do is remove it and put it on. It's ve'inim chusim olacha hatzericha uman. You don't need a shoemaker to take it off. Shehevi yochel esal koim al imam. Anybody can go and take it off the imam. You know, maybe you have to go and pull on it a little bit, but it's kvar shein kli olav v'tame. So the chomim. It's already a fed to get kli, and it's makabel tumah. Until you remove it, it's not a done deal yet. So they asked him again, what do you hold about that shoe? And he said, who tahor? It is tahor. Why is it tahor? Like Rashi said, and as soon as he said tahor, the yotze nishmasi b'tahara, he left, his neshama left him with the word tahor.
So the shoemaker's son will not go barefoot.
Okay, good. Sorry. Shkoyach. Omer Rabbi Shua Raglev. So Rabbi Shua stood up now. The Omar, you said before that he makes Benidoy. From a Hutter Haneidu Hutter Nina. Now that he passed away, the Shamta Chaim automatically falls away. And as a result, therefore.
Automatically, or do they
remonstrate?
It sounds like Hutter Nader happened automatically, you know, instantaneously. Not, he didn't say, okay, Rabbi, so let's go and be Matan Nader. Sounds like his Hutter on its own. Maybe that's the reason why he said it twice for further emphasis. Hutter Nader. And therefore, we're all allowed to go and participate in the Levaya. We can all act as the Chevra Kadish in terms of the body, etc. Now, remember, this is already happening at least on Friday night, because the previous story, Metachamati, taking off the tefillin right before Shabbos, and this explanation, this whole thing took place a few minutes later, so they're not going to go and touch the body in Shabbos. But the Matzah Shabbos, Poga Boira Bekiva, Min Kisri Lulut, Rashi's great is Bain Kisri Lulut, which means that they transfer the body from Kisri to Lut, the body of Reb Lezer, and Reb Akiva was one of the Malavim, so as he was going, he was in such pain, in such sadness, he was hitting his hands, he was hitting his body, he was clapping, until he started bleeding and blood started flowing out onto the ground. That's how much in pain he was. Obviously, he didn't do it intentionally, because I know Barry's thinking to himself, he didn't do a sarat, he didn't go and scratch himself, he didn't take a razor, he was just never cropping whatever it was, Hashem the Beganu, what we lost, and what do we do?
His capillaries were close to the skin.
Exactly. The Omar, and he kept on calling out, like Elisha said about Elio, Novi, Ovi, Ovi, Rechvi, Sol, Parashav, we've lost now the Godl Hador, and the Tzadik Hador, and all the rest. Harvey Moise Yeshli, I still have so many coins. No more pennies. Vainly Shulchani the Hartzois, and I have no Shulchani to go and show them to explain it and tell me good enough. Of course, it's a marshal. He's saying, I have so many Shaglas and Alocha, there's no longer the Godel to ask how to pass it. Anyway, that's the end of a very lengthy brisa from the top until the bottom. Zokimar, what do we see from this brisa? Alamira Blazer, Gomra, I see Hilchois Akiras Kishuan. Whether it's a mechashif or not, he learned it from Elazar, and from our mission said he learned it from Rabbi Yeshua. Everything Mar Gomer Elazar will suffer. Initially, when he heard it from Rabbi Elazar, he wasn't able to understand it fully. In other words, it wasn't fully baked in his mind, and he could not relate to it. Had the Gomer Rabbi Yeshua years later when he learned Rabbi Yeshua, he asked Rabbi Yeshua as well, and his father Nilay, and he explained it to him, and now it fell into made sense, and he was able to logically go and absorb it, and therefore. For all of eternity, although he initially learned from Elazar, but it only really made, only got embedded in his mind and his heart to understand it in the times of Rabbi Shua, and that's why a Mishnah quotes from Rabbi Shua. Break the way of it, Hachi. But going back to the story, how was Rabbi Elazar able to go and show him Netias Kishum Ayyadei Kishuv? And Akiras Kishum Hayide Kishum. That means that he himself learned and he's teaching Kishum. How you gotta do that? He was an Oysa Maasa. And he did it because this was an empty field and he went abracadabra, and all of a sudden the whole field is full of Kishum. And a minute later the whole field was no longer full of Kishum. It was Oysa Maasa. Everything with Islamic Shari to teach is a different story. The Pasuk says, if you have the Pasuk here in number 2 at the top, Ki ata va el oretz, asher shamkecha noisen loch, loisumad lasois, ki seyavis agoyim hain. Don't go and learn from books or from their kishemachers, from their machshefois, lasois, to go and do like their teyevois, like their abominations. Loisumad lasois. But you are allowed to go and learn to be able to understand how this works and then to go and paskin a shayla. Because if nobody's going to go and learn these things, then somebody's going to come to the Ruv and say, Ruv, am I allowed to do this abracadabra form? Is this permissible or not? My Rebbe never told me Hilchas Kishim. I don't even know how you do it. So you have to know how to do it to be able to respond betun ish or betun yot, depending whether it's a chizas anayim or whether it's the real McCoy or isamas. Yes, you upset. You're tied up to 3 questions now.
Okay, only 2.
Okay.
When he said about the shofaris, where his students didn't even miss even a little bit, as
they only took from him.
But what he's saying though, but with him from his rebbeim, he was
emptied
the lake less than, more than what a dog would drink from the
one person.
He received from them. He received tons and tons and tons of information. Right. However, after the tons of information, it was still the smallest percentage against compared to their wisdom and to their knowledge. In other words, they knew 10 billion megabytes of Torah. He was able to get from them 1 million. So 1 million out of 10 billion was considered to be like a malakik min hayam.
So was he saying that his Talmidim were better than what he was?
Oh, so now you're going by the Talmidim.
Yeah,
so Talmidim,
he said. He said about him that he was less than, it was only like a kelav, whatever.
Malaki Menayam.
Malaki Menayam.
And now he's saying, and I gave Torah to my Talmidim, a huge amount of Torah, also a billion megabytes or something.
Mm-hmm. But actually less, because the Shofaris is actually so much smaller. The volume is actually the mushel. That here you have an ocean, and here you have a small...
So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about 10 ounces, 3 ounces?
No, I'm saying, but just a comparison. It's not the same measure.
Okay. Yeah, but anyway, the bottom is... So what's the quality? About what value
did it have?
If you want to look at the Rashi to get further explanation, bearing in mind that the Rashi itself is corrected twice by Merav Ranjburg, Reb Tzal Ranjburg, because it seems to be a toys at first. If you look at the Rashi, smack in the middle of the omen of the Chassati, Merabois, Ikel, Melachman, Yach, they had such huge depositories of chokhmah in their minds and in their hearts. I wasn't able to go and chip away at their limudim. Here it says Ella, and the side it says, even though I received from them huge amounts of chokhmah, but compared to the repositories of chokhmah that they had in them, the tip of the iceberg, they say today, right? So this is, I only had like a kelmak v'niyam. Even though I taught them, right? The Gemara says, harbeli marati, I taught so much Torah. But nevertheless, from all of my chachman, all of my Torah, they weren't able to make a dent in the greater amount of chachma than I have of them. Now, again, the Ranjbot changes it. Ella, only you put the mikhav shofaris, that one drop of application out of the 100 drops or 1,000 drops that you have in that shofaris, he only took out a bissle. So they taka made a dent, if you will. This is a smaller percentage of malaki minayam. But nevertheless, the amount that they took from me was comparison, is almost nothing. It's good to nishgit.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so, next question.
I wanted to just point out something that I saw in the...
Yes, article, please do.
Where they said about...
Reb Lezen, Reb Kiva, and Reb Yeshua.
He said Reb Yeshua annulled the excommunication. Allowing the church to attend Reb Lezen's funeral, but eliminated the need to place... And eliminated the need to place...
So you're saying that it wasn't that it happened automatically, you had to go and say Hutter and
Eichel. After he died.
Okay.
After he died.
And he also said that it was that someone who was in... have communicated that they used to put a stone on his...
And here they did not.
Here they did not.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
And the reason is that they're not annulled excommunication during a religious lifetime because he never retracted the ruling that brought this about.
About the time of Ben Achnoi.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so, good.
So, would
you like to say something?
Yeah, so when they explained how he was able to do these acts of Kishuv, it said for learning purposes.
Correct.
So why can't we say about the Mekoshesh Eitzim, don't they say he did it for teaching purposes, supposedly, and he was still stoned?
There is a medrash like that, that the reason he meant it, L'toiva. That means he meant it, L'toiva, because he saw that people, when they heard that we're all going to die here in the Midbar anyway, they said, okay, a day earlier, a day later, a year earlier, we're all doomed to die. So therefore they became Nisrashel when it came to Hilchei Shabbos. So therefore to go and mechazik them and tell them, Boisai, this is the real McCoy, don't be Nisrashel. So therefore he did the Kshishas Eitzim. But he wasn't teaching how you're Mekoshesh Eitzim. What he was doing was, he was doing a real, real malacha, but he was doing it, quote-unquote, L'shem Shemayim. Tell people, give people a lesson. You should know, if you're going to go and do any one of these malachas of Shabbos, this is no small fry. This is the real McCoy. And 2 days later, he was...
Wasn't that the Yad Gemara?
Yesh Omim, that it was slachot. Right, because it says, he wasn't in the Adas Koyrech against you. So what was he? See, he was the one that... It's a Gemara and a Tois in Yesh Nochlin that he meant to L'Shem Shemayim. It's not that... It's a different lesson. Here we're talking a lesson how you do the kishuv. There, everybody knows how you mekoshesh eitzim. It's a machlik, it's what mekoshesh eitzim happens to be. But whatever it happens to be, everybody knows what it is. So he was just doing it to be as the role model, a negative role model that everybody should realize, don't be like the mekoshesh eitzim, because otherwise it'll be a levaya in 2 days from now. So, don't do it. Okay, on to the Mishnah. It is curious, a new perek. Mendy already announced that we're ending the perek, and we're starting a brand new perek. What is interesting is, this is really not anything new, because this is the last one of the long list of Niskalim. Back on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, we started off with Elohim and Niskalim, and for the last 14, 15 blot, we've been going through each one. The final ones that we had, which we discussed today, were the Mechashev, and yesterday we discussed now the Mechashev, the Oiv Yedoini, the Mechalas HaShabbos, Mechal Ovim, and the Boam Narum Rosa, Meitzma Mediach, Mechashev. Now we're up to Ben Soyder Umayra. That's the final one. Because after the Habo Aleim, that's just explaining the first part of the Mishnah. Anyway, so this Lechoyra should have been the last Mishnah in the previous Parak. However, because of the fact that Ben Soyder Umayra goes on for 4 or 5 or 6 plot, it's not the longest Parak in the world, but it does have a few plot, so presumably
almost
that's why...
One of the most important parakim.
It's one of the most important? Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Every parakim. Yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah, Arval Yavor is in here.
All wonderful things. So even therefore, though, yes, Mendy.
Even though we never happened.
Correct.
So important.
Exactly. Torah Hiva Luman Anitzar. So therefore, they were masadered as a...
The Arval Yavor vote is in this parakim.
Mm-hmm. So if you think I'm making all this up, if you look at the top, Rashi tells us. It's just going through the list of Niskalim. This is the final one. This is the final one. This is the final one of all those 20 or 25, whatever, that are listed in that Mishnah of Elohim Niskalim. Okay, so continue on. When does he get the status of Ben Soyru Meir? The reason why the Gemara, or the Mishnah, asks this is because we'll see in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, normally when the Torah wants to tell you that don't do something bad, it says ish or ish ish. Here is a very strange lashon. It says he's a ben soyru meir. Ben sounds like he's a very young guy. So if he's a very young guy, question is how young is he? Ben soyru meir says the Mishnah mishiyavi shtei saris, from the point that he gets shtei saris, in other words, that he's par mitzvah. How long can he have the status of ben soyru meir? Vad sheyakif zokin, until he gets a beard. A beard, really? That means that could be several years. Right? You're stealing my thunder here.
Oh, sorry.
So, no problem, we're still good best friends. Anyway, the point is, he's 13 years old. When does a 13-year-old usually get a beard? 3 years later, 5 years later. As we know, boys only start getting beards a few years later. Says the Mishnah, don't make a mistake. I'm not talking about the facial beard. I'm talking about a tachtoin, v'lo ya'el yoin. We need the beard down below. So why do you call it a beard? That's not beard. That's pubic hair. Is why you're talking about Elishin. We want to speak about Nashena Loshin. We don't want to use the term pubic hair.
It shouldn't be public.
And therefore, that's the reason why we use the term Zokin. That's why I didn't run into Zokin Atachtav Le'elion, because Rashi says that you're supposed to put a comma there. See, look at Rashi, third line. Hachiyachav Kotten, she'ei Zokin Mukif Seir Sovav Kulai. That's a full beard. However, Atachtav Le'elion, Le'zokin Mamish, I don't mean literally a facial beard. Zokin Oisei Mabkoi. So why didn't we say Zokin Oisei Mabkoi? We want to speak in a nice way. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, Shen Nemar, like it says in the pasuk, Ki Eli Ish Ben Soiru Moira. So first Igmar, the Mishnah goes off on a tangent just for a short second. Ben Vloy Bas, the din of Ben Soiru Moira only applies to a boy, and not to a girl. But now let's get back to our Mishnah. Ben Vloy Ish. We're talking about a Ben that is not an Ish, meaning that once he gets the beard down below, he's no longer a Ben. He's now considered to be a mature young man. For those of you that are wondering, how long does it take from the initial shteisaris to the bottom beard, the boise makayim? Our Mishnah doesn't say, but Mishnah we're going to see tomorrow. If you want to just take a quick look at Samach Tes Amid Aleph, 3-4 lines before the wide lines. Amar Reb Kruz Bedoy Kol Yomav Shal Ben Tzayir Moira Einay Ela Gimel Chadosh Muvad. It's a very narrow window. I would love to ever. Three months, from 13 to 13:30.
So every time we say Ish, we've always said something bar mitzvah. Are we now modifying that whenever the Torah says Ish, we're now shifting it to 13 plus 3 months?
What do you mean? No.
Because we're saying
only by Ben Tzermayer. Only by Tzermayer. That's the only thing. Ben Tzermayer. Because the Torah calls him Ben. We're not finishing. Says the Mishnah Vaita, you're going to go and say, so therefore, Ben Vloy Ish. Once he becomes an Ish, when would be the Ish? After he gets the facial hair down below, and I don't know if you can use the term facial hair down below, but you can know what I'm talking about, a beard down below. How long is that? Chris Bedoy says 3 months. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. So during that period of time, he could be a Ben Tzera Moira, and if he does it, he does whatever Ben Tzera Moira does. What does a Ben Tzera Moira do? We're going to talk about that more later on in our perek, that he goes and steals a tartum of basar and chatzilo yayin, and he eats it and he drinks it. He's unfortunately off the derech at a very early age. Rachman Litzla. Anyway, so what happens with him? He never gets skila. Wow. However, it's only if he's within that 3 month period. Zok to Mishnah Baita Katan. What happens before he gets his shtei saris? He's potish loy bal chlamitzvah. He's not even bar mitzvah yet. So he's pot. Freiti mara. Katan min on the potter. How do you know that a cotton is potter? This Ben Tzera Moira, he's only 12 years old. How do you know that there's no din of skila by him? So tomorrow, minolon, can you tell any time? Did you just read the Mishnah? What did the Mishnah say in the last few words? Cotton shloi bolich la mitzvah, because he's not a bar mitzvah. So that's why he's potter from skila, this bad young kid. Besu, and I don't even understand what your kash is. Heicha ashkechem the onesh akosav dehochli boi yikrolim iftere. Don't you, haven't you learned a little bit in the a little chumish and a little halacha and a little kitzur shulchan aruch and mishnayis? Don't you know that a child only becomes mechuyav b'mitzvos when he's 13 years old, or a girl when she becomes 12 years old? But before that, they don't have dinim of oinshim. The only dinim that they have before that is din of chinuch, that the father has to go and teach him, so that when he becomes bar mitzvah, it doesn't become a totally brand new world. Oy, I didn't know anything about brachas, I didn't know about davening, I didn't know about lulav and about the sukkah. It sounds chinuch. But there's certainly no oinshim prior to bar mitzvah. So why are you asking this kash over here by Ben Tzayra Moira? Cotton mean on the butter. Cotton is always butter. It's universal. Call it tzayra kula. So if you might not come in, I'll explain to you what my kasha was, or my shaila. I asked Kot Minon the potter. I'll explain to you. Otu Ben Tzayra Moira al chetoy nerag. Is a Ben Tzayra Moira killed because of the chet that he did? The chet that he did is a relatively minor infraction. Okay, he took a stole, tied him a basar, chatzilo yayin, he ate it, he drank it. We're going to talk more about this in another few days. After all, we have to have a whole perek on Ben Tzera Moira. We're going to discuss exactly what the chet is. But that chet itself is not enough to warrant chas v'shalom skila. If a grown man of 25 years old would steal some basar and some yayin and he would drink it and eat it and all the rest, you don't get skila for that. Most what you have to do is you have to return it, and if he did a big navy, he has to go and give a kefil. Or if he went and made a full shvur, he has to add a choymish. You don't get misa for that. So why is this Ben Tzera Moira getting misa? Al shem soifei nerag, because we see that this kid is up to no good, and therefore we kill him before he can go and do terrorist activities. If that in fact is the case, then it has nothing to do with an oinish per se about what he's doing now. This is a preventive measure for perhaps the benefit of society, that we don't have this wild chayra running around causing all types of terrorist types of activities. Maybe we should cut him in his tracks when he's still 12 years old. Who says only when he gets bar mitzvah? Mm-hmm. So that was the basis of my question, cutting me on the pot. And that's why I asked Dafka over here, as opposed to anywhere else. Anywhere else, he given oinish on what he's doing now. Now, al shem soifai. I'll tell you another reason why this bothered me. Because normally, since the Torah says ish that does this, or ish that does that, or ish, and here you're talking about a ben. Why does it refer to him as ben? Ooh, ben sounds like he's not an ish yet. Sounds like he's still a cotton. That's why as cotton min on the pot to efshapun faker. The reason why the Torah uses the term ben seremoira, you're only chayv, or at least you are chayv from the time of cotton, not only from the time of mitzvah. That was the question that he posed. How do I know this particular cotton ben seremoira is pot? Amr gina marav diomakra. I'll tell you because it's in the pasuk. V'chiyel ish ben. Bein asamach likvurase shel ish. What does Yigmar mean? Pashim shav chiyel ish means that you have a Jew who has a son, and that son, unfortunately, is a soirer umayr. The way Rav Yudah Marav is dashing, however, he's learning it, chiyel ish bein. It goes together. That when this bein is developing into an ish, it would be easier if the words were reversed. Chiyel ben lo ish. But we're going to have that in the Gemara in another few lines. Just stay tuned. But that's how the Gemara is understanding it. Yonam Rav says, V'chiyah le'ish. When someone is about to mature into ishness, who is that? A ben. That the ben is about to become an ish. When is that? Ben asam l'gibur asay shel ish. That means he starts off at the age of 13. Now he's a man. If you've ever been to a bar mitzvah, Yankel is now a full-fledged Jew. He's a member of Klal Yisrael. He's a full man. So that's the Gvurasa Shalish.
A man for the minion.
V'chiyel ish ben, that this ben is now becoming an ish. V'chiyel ish, now this ben, that until now everybody, V'chiyel ish, and now he's become a man. So that's the Drashvi V'chiyel ish ben, that the ben has become a man. So that means from bar mitzvah, and that's how I know that prior to that, he is potter, even though it's Hashem Soifai, Hashem Soifadev. But we're not finished yet. The last shikl that we just had was Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Remember that? We're going to get back to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav shortly. So now we send the Mishnah that's a short period of time from the beginning of the Shteis Aris until Yaakov Zaken Atachdoin, Tony Rabchi learned in the Brais, Achi Yaakov Atorah. Torah, of course, literally means the edge, the end of the Gid. People do not normally have hedges of saris, of hairs growing out around the Atara. That doesn't seem right. What Bechia meant was Hakofes Gid, play Hakofes Bein, meaning that on the bottom of the Gid, you already have hairs, and beneath the testicle, beneath the Beim down below, you also have hairs. However, says Rashi, the hairs below the Beim, those only come later. Many years later. A year later, 2 years later, whatever. And so therefore, if you would take a quick look at the Rashi, Kiyosu Rav Dimi, about six lines before the white line. Kiyosu Rav Dimi, Parshi explained Rav Chiyah, to hod the tona at Yaakov HaTorah, la'ashmein and hakofes zokin hatachtin diktoni masnisen. What do we mean by that? Hakofes gid ka'omar. Samach lebeim. It's above the beim, but at the end of the gid. V'le hakofes hakis shobeim. We don't mean the kish lebeim down below, to have the Basar Hachituva, that's much later, maybe a year later, 2 years later, Maisish. Anyway, so therefore that's what Rebchi is telling you is that Zokin Atachta means at the bottom of the gid as opposed to at the bottom of the pouch of the vein. Back to Yimar Omer of Chista. Cotton Shehoilid. What happens if you had a 12-year-old that magically had a child? Imagine, 12-year-old had a child. I know many of you are thinking to yourself,
9 years old, they can't get the one.
They are Barbia, but the question is, do they have koyach in their zera to impregnate women? The fact that they can go through the maisa, the maisa beer, already 9 years old. The question is that the zera, do they even have zera? Or if they do have zera, is it fertile enough to be able to produce a child from the egg of the woman? So Omer of Chizah, cotton shahoyed. Now, our Gemara is taking for granted that a cotton can have a child. We'll see in another moment, Rabbah on the bottom, if you want to look at the last three lines, Rabbah holds Kotten Einemoy, that there's no such mitzius. If he's not 13, you can stand on your head, he does not have potency in his zera to be able to go and create a child. But Rav Chisda obviously disagrees. And Rav Chisda says, Kotten Shehoilet, if you have a kotten that did give birth, in other words, he impregnated a woman and she gave birth to a child, and he has a son. And now, of course, we're not talking about on the spot, when the baby was born, what he's doing is crying, hopefully. But we're talking now, 12, 13 years later, what happens now? That Yingala cannot become a Ben Tzoyra Moira. Why? Shenema ki eli ish ben. It's got to be then ish gave birth to a ben. Faloi ben ben. You have a child who's still a ben, he's only 12 and a half. If he impregnated a woman, then she had a child. So then the ben was born to a ben. It wasn't born to an ish. So therefore I know there would be no din of ben Tzoyra Moira on that child.
But it doesn't apply to the next generation.
I'm missing something here.
Nothing funny. that child
yes.
who is not going
the
to be...
The child of the 9-year-old.
Right.
No, the 12-year-old.
Whatever. I mean, theoretically, we could talk about 9-year-old.
The next generation can be...
It's eligible. If they're fathered
right.
by someone of age, yeah.
Right.
Of age. Good. That's right. It's not grandson or Irene Kalilman.
It's not like Mamzerus. It's not like a Ben Pekua.
Very good. Okay, beautiful. Shenema ki yeh le ish ben the loy le ben ben. Freiti mora os you dashing the ish ben according to Rav Chisda to tell us this thing that if you have a child that gave birth to a baby that baby cannot become Ben Tzoyra Moira 13 years later because if you will like a legal technicality because it was born to a child. Freiti mora, didn't we just learn that the ish ben for the drasha of Rav Yehuda Amarav. Haimi Boilev Yehuda Amarav. The word of Yehuda Amarav say that I learned from the words Ki Yesh Meish Ben, that when the Ben is now maturing into an Ish, he's become 13, he's now Gevuras Yishal Ish, from this point on, he can get the din of Skila, but not prior thereto. Oh, so I use the Chiyah Li'ish Ben to tell us the Ben HaSamach Gevuras Yishal Ish. So how am I using now Li'ish Ben to say V'loi Ben Ben? How am I using the same words to tell us two separate drushes? V'tumara in kein le'mekra, ki ben li'ish. If we were learning like Rabbi Huna Marav, what it could have said is, ki ben, parshup shat ben li'ish means a person has a son who is a soyru moida. But to teach us Rabbi Huna Marav, we would say, when does this begin the oinish of skila? Ki ben li'ish, when the ben is maturing into an ish, when he's become bar mitzvah. That would be an easier read. Ki ben, the ben, is now getting into the status of an ish. My ki li ish ben, why does it say in reverse? Oh, Shemayin Olik Rav Chisda, tells Rav Chisda's halacha, that when is a child ben tzera moira, if he's the son of an ish, and not if he's the son of a child. Frank Timura, ve'ema kulachi durasa, you've convinced me so much, maybe taka ki li ish ben is only teaching us Rav Chisda's halacha, and not teaching us Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's halacha. To him came him a cross, and then it should go and say Ben Ish, Bechia Ben Ish. Why does it have to say Ben Lo Ish? Oh, I'm sorry, Lo Ish Ben. It could have said Ben Ish, and would say Ben Ish. It would mean the son of a mature individual, as opposed to a son of a child. So why does it say Ki Lo Ish Ben? My Lo Ish Ben. I mean, Otayis is coming to tell us both halachas. Halacha number one that the din of the oinish of skila of Ben Tzer Moira only begins when a ben hasamach le'ish to gvurasi shalish, in other words, that he just became bar mitzvah, not a cotton. Number two, it comes to tell you that it has to be the son of an ish and not the son of a child. Upliga the rabbi, this Rav Chisda argued the rabbi, the umber rabbi, cotton ain't a moilet. A cotton can't have a child. You're nuts. There's no such thing as a child giving birth. Shenemar im ein le'ish goyim. This is talking about, it's in the parasha of Parshas Nosai, which is talking about a person who stole. And he also made a false shvua, and then after that we caught him that he was the thief, and he made the false shvua. He has to go and pay now to the victim. He has to give him back the keren, and he has to go and be moisef a chaynish. But then it says in the pasuk, "What happens im ein leishgoyel? What happens if the person who was the victim died and he left no yarshim? If there would be yarshim, instead of giving the money to the father who passed away, they give it to the yarshim, to the children. However, this person unfortunately has no yarshim. Ein leishgoyel, lahashim lahashim elav." To go and give back the Hashem. Hashem means the Keren. Hashem Amushim Hashem, instead give it to the Kehanim. That's what we call Gezel Hager. He has to bring a carbon aisle. Anyway, so the Gemara says, everybody in Klal Yisrael has a relative somewhere, even though you don't know who the relatives are, but keep on going back in history.
Relatively speaking.
But that's the answer, But the Gemara is now talking about, before we get to the answer, if you look at the Rashi, Shein Legealim, three lines at the bottom. Every person in Klal Yisrael has Yarshim, Koz Manjali, Kogabin Yaakov. Hakorev, Karev, Kaidim. Until you hear Chas V'Shalom that there are no children left, Chas V'Shalom, from the Yaakov to all the 12 Shvatim. As long as you can identify that he's from Shevet Binyamin, then give it to a Binyaminite. And if he's from Shevet Yehuda, give it to a person from Yehuda. Even though he doesn't know each other, he's a, you know.
Distant relative.
Very, very distant relative. They're just from the same tribe. But that's enough. Every Yid Kaiser has a Goyal. So, Timara, Ella. The passage when it says the engle ish goyel, like Bill said a moment ago, as a ger hakosim mitaber, the Omer Rachmana. What does the Torah say about that ger? Em ein lo ish goyel. The Omer Rachmana ish ish at the tzarich lachzer olav v'miyesh legealim the imlav cotton on the vimlav. Period. What does that mean? What happens tak if a ger passes away? The fact that he's a ger doesn't mean he doesn't have yorshim. Because the ger very possibly married, and he had three or four children. And maybe if he became a ger 50 years ago, maybe he had Einiklach and Ir Einiklach. He could have tons of Goyal, he could have tons of Yarshim, even though he was a ger. However, that's only if im ein lo ish Goyal, that the person was Megayer, and he was already an ish, he was already bar mitzvah, already, or at least over the age of 13. So then it's possible for him to have Goyalim, and that's why you have to go and Tzarech lachzer olav. Start asking all the neighbors, asking, obviously, if he died at the age of, we shouldn't say obvious, whatever. Anyway, isha tzarech lachzer olav yesh legalim, if he's the status of ish, then you have to ask around, neighbors, friends, enemies, anybody, do you know whether he had any children or not? V'imlav, however, if, v'imlav, that goes together. Isha tzarech lachzer olav yesh legalim lav. Semicolon. Cotton, however, if this ger that passed away was all of the age of 10, 11, 12, he wasn't even bar mitzvah yet. You don't have to ask anybody. Mm-hmm. Clearly he didn't have any children because he had passed away at the ripe old age of 12 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I see, according to Rabbah, why don't you have to go and ask? According to Rav Chis, it's possible for a child to have a child. Rabbah says, forget about it. There's no such mitzvah, and therefore you don't even have to ask. Clear that he had no Gealim, he had no Yorshim. We'll stop over here. Wow. To be continued tomorrow. But wonderful.
And the prequel will be tonight at 10 minutes to 8.